Well, good morning, friends. Hope you are well. As Carrie mentioned, we are continuing our series, Heaven Invade. Today, I want to speak about how heaven can invade our worship times as we gather together, which you guys sound great. I just love getting a chance to worship with you before each week starts, and gathering together on Sunday is incredibly powerful. But before I jump in, I think many of you know today is a unique day. It is Super Bowl Sunday, all right? I don't know if you know this, but there will be 1.4 billion chicken wings eaten tonight. 1.4. There'll be 28 million pounds of chips that will be consumed and 10 million pounds of ribs that will be eaten. Miles is excited about that. And they said America has an eating problem. No way, right? But you know, some people will consume up to 10,000 calories today. Now, I just want to do something real quick just so you could. So don't be that person who doesn't participate, all right? So I just want you real quick. I'm going to start here, and we're going to do the wave, all right? So you've done this. Pretend it's a Baylor or whatever team you like, all right? So ready? You guys start. There we go. Wave. Okay. There's a reason I had you do that. If you drink two sodas tonight, you have to do that 1,561 times to burn those calories off. So you can go ahead and get started now. Addition to that, if you're wondering how many calories it will take to burn off two pieces of pizza, it is 267 Super Bowl dances, all right? So get your moves ready for tonight. Not a curiosity, just in the spirit of candor. How many of you are cheering for old man Tom Brady and the Buccaneers? Not a lot of love for Tom, all right. How many of you are cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes? How many of you, like me, wish there was a way there could be a tie today? A few of you, yes indeed. Now here's the real question though, to test you diehard Cowboy fans. How many of you think this time next year, the Cowboys will be in the Super Bowl? A few of you do. You know, I asked this at the 9:30 service, which is some of our senior adults who are supposed to be wise and spiritual and just calm. They laughed. They laughed out loud. Now, Richard Covington, you know, is our missions pastor. Every year, I've been here for 4 years, every year I ask him, who's going to win the Super Bowl? If you know Richard, he's a diehard, obnoxious, very obnoxious Cowboys fan, let's be honest. And every year he goes, oh, dude, Cowboys. This year, year four, I ask him, who's going to win the Super Bowl? Richard, without blinking, goes, Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. And because I'm really spiritual, halfway through the year when Dak got injured and the Cowboys were awful, I walked into his office and said, Richard, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? And without skipping a beat, Richard goes, next year, the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. So maybe next year it will be your year. Now, all of us know today is a big day for sports fans. In fact, as sad as it is, statistics show that even church attendance dips on Sundays where sports teams are happening. Super Bowl attendance is the same way. And Tony Evans actually framed up what I was speaking about today better than I could even say it. He spoke about the heart of worship. And literally, he speaks about how we approach pseudo-worship with our favorite sports teams, whether it be the Dallas Cowboys, whatever your alma mater is, whatever that is, versus the way that we approach worshiping God on Sundays. And I thought it was too good. It just framed up, again, my sermon today on the heart of worship. But this is what he says, the way we approach pseudo-worship, sports worship. He says, think about it like this. On a Sunday, a serious fan is going to leave for church 2 hours before the service begins. But they are willing to fight the traffic, to fight the inconvenience, because they've decided their team is worthy of that inconvenience. When they get to their parking spot at their Cowboy church, they are going to have a long way to walk to get to their seat in the sanctuary, but it won't matter. They have decided that their team is worthy. They will then sit for 3 hours, and they will not leave church early. Listen to this. Nor will they complain when the service has gone too long, because they know what it's like to leave 1 minute, 1 minute early, and to miss that big thing happen on the field. In fact, overtime is often celebrated. Worship on Sunday will take them 7 hours by the time they get there, fight traffic, and then make it back. And when they get home, guess what they do? They will turn on NFL Network and ESPN to review what they saw that day. So they're gonna meditate on the sermon and review the high points of that service. On Monday, because they are serious about their worship, they're going to get into small groups at work and have small group meetings around the water fountain and discuss the worship service they just had the previous day. Then on Tuesday, they're going to start looking at what the sermon next week is going to be like. Who's coming to preach the guest sermon? What is that conflict going to be? Now they are discussing the sermon before the service ever shows up, because they aren't just there for an event. They have made worship a lifestyle. It carries them every day, every week of their entire lives. If you can give that much worth to someone who wins today and loses tomorrow, if you are willing to give that much inconvenience for something that doesn't add that much value to your life, explain to me this, how the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods cannot get a minute of your time on Sunday. Amen. I feel like we should just call it right there. I mean, how do you follow up from that? But the truth is, showing up on Sunday matters. The way you show up matters. In fact, you know, Hebrews speaks about not neglecting meeting together. Or in Acts chapter 2, remember the Holy Spirit falls in a rich, profound way. Tongues of fire happen. The Holy Spirit is given. Remember what it says? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, here's what's interesting. I've mentioned this before, but when Jesus resurrects, he shows up to 500 people. And you know what he tells them? Keep worshiping. Keep showing up. Keep focusing on me. At Pentecost, there are 120 who get to experience a power, a life, a miracle they never had before. But it hit me the other day that 380 missed out. 380 didn't have the same experience. They had to hear secondhand what God had done. See, physically showing up does, in fact, matter to God, but it's not enough to physically show up. We have to be people who show up spiritually, emotionally, mentally speaking, because you know what it's like to show up somewhere, whether at work or at the kitchen table, and be a million miles away. In fact, what I want you to get right off the bat is this. Your level of engagement on a Sunday will create what you experience with God. Again, your level of engagement will create what you experience. Sundays, much like life, will be what you put into them is what you will get out of them. In fact, Jeremiah 29:11 is an incredible verse, but what I always find interesting is that we don't give the prerequisites to Jeremiah 29:11, which comes the verses after. Listen to what it says. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And then people stop right there. But there is a requirement to this kind of life. Listen to what it says in verse 12. In those days when you pray, I will listen if, keyword being if, you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Translation? Your level of engagement with God will create what your experience with God is like. If you show up apathetically, you're probably not going to experience much of God. If you partly show up, you're going to partly experience God. But if you show up wholeheartedly, looking to worship God, to celebrate God, to make a big deal about God, here's what it says. God will meet you in that space. So today, as we talk about this idea of what it means to have a heart of worship, what it means to have a spirit of engagement, to show up and make a big deal about God, there's just a couple things I want to point out from Acts chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, I'm just going to look at three verses. If not, they'll be on the screen behind us. Acts chapter 13, I just want to point out two simple things about what happens when our church starts to make a big deal about the name of Jesus, like we would a sports team, when we show up with a spirit of engagement, looking to give back and bless the name of God. The first thing that I want you to see is that when we have a spirit of engagement, a heart of worship, this is the first thing. We see it as a way of ministering to the Lord. Now, this was profound to me. I'd like to say that I knew this for years. As I was studying 2 weeks ago, this was one of the more transformative things that framed up the way I show up on Sunday. Like a football player is preparing themselves for the big game, there is something about the way in which we as Christ followers show up on Sunday that matters to God. Listen to what it says. In Acts chapter 13, 1-3, as they ministered to the Lord, your version might say as they worshiped, it's used interchangeably, but as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now notice, when you think about showing up, if you're serving somewhere, or I can think about bringing a ministry to you, you can think about bringing a ministry to me or caring for other people. We often think about Sundays in some ways as a ministry to one another, but notice the first and primary responsibility when you show up on Sunday is you bring Not me. Every one of you, when you walk in this room, you bring a ministry to the Lord by how you show up. By how you show up. In fact, this word ministered actually draws from Old Testament language on the Levite priest who were ministering to the people and ministering to God, bringing sacrifices. So it means when you show up, you see yourself as bringing a ministry, which means you do what pleases God, which is the way that we worship, the way that we focus, the way that we give our adoration and our affection really does matter. You don't just come in and then see if God meets you in this place. You don't come in waiting for God to give you a word or fill you up. You come in looking to bless the name of God before you've ever received anything from him. This is transformative stuff, friends. See, think about the five G's. We speak about these as marks, as things that we awaken to as followers of Jesus. You become awakened to grace. You become marked by the grace of God, which transforms your life. And then even as we talk about growing, I spoke about that a few weeks ago. We put ourselves in places to be formed in the image of Jesus. And we start to look like him. And then as we give our time, talents, and treasures, which Gary spoke about last week, we do this as a way of honoring God and worshiping him. And then we go and we make a big deal about Jesus because we believe the story of Jesus is just too good to keep to ourselves. But if we're not careful, we can think, we talk about gathering together and we're better together, that we just show up to extract, just to receive. But this is the idea that when you show up on Sundays, you show up looking to bless the name of Jesus, regardless of what he does for you. You show up ready to engage in God. Think about it like this. When you go to a restaurant, there is a waiter who ministers to you, or a waitress who ministers to you. They focus on you. They bring you your food. They take care of you, bless you. They look for ways to kind of meet your needs. And ultimately, how well they serve you in that moment determines the tip in which they receive. Now, the point that I'm making is this. If you're anything like me, it is so easy to show up on Sunday and just ask God to tip us, to bless us, to speak to us. Not evil stuff, it's good stuff. But to ask him to meet us in this space, to take care of this issue, all before we have ever done any ministry to the Lord, all before we've ever blessed his name. So here's the honest question that was really, really convicting to me this week. See, as you came to worship the living God today, did you come to find out what God can and will do for you before you have ever done anything for him? Before he's ever gotten your praise, before he's ever gotten your prayers, before he's ever gotten your celebration, before he has ever gotten your commitment or your love? See, that's a whole different way to worship. Ultimately, what happens is my posture shifts from looking to take blessings from God to looking to be a blessing to God. Do you see the difference? Imagine if people showed up and there was a church where people were worshiping like that, where they were gathering in this kind of spirit. I think it would be transformative. Listen to what Hebrews 13:15 says. It says, therefore by him, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now this is drawing off, if you read Hebrews, Hebrews draws off the Old Testament sacrifice system, the priestly system. So he's drawing off, and notice that word sacrifice of praise. It's drawing off where animals were sacrificed. And of course, once Jesus comes, we don't do that. But notice that we are not removed from the responsibility of bringing sacrifices. It's just the sacrifices have shifted. And what is this sacrifice? A sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to the name of God. Meaning that we look to show up on Sundays to minister and bless the name of God. That means we show up and worship God even when we don't feel it and life is hard. You still bless the name of God. You still look to exalt him. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 26 speaks about when Paul and Silas are actually imprisoned for sharing their faith and making a big deal about Jesus. And some of you have read this, but I just want to share this to remind us of when and how we should worship. Remember in Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 26, Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. It says this, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received the orders, he put them in the inner cell, fastened their feet in the stocks about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Now, did they worship God before or after their circumstances changed? They didn't know if they were going to get free. If you are anything like me, I will often say, God, if you fix this circumstance, or if you deal with this thing, or if we could just take care of this, then I'll worship you. But right now, I'm a little preoccupied. These men did not know if they were going to make it out alive. And yet, they decided they were going to bring a sacrifice of praise. They didn't care necessarily what happened to them. They were just going to walk in and exalt the name of Jesus. And here's the thing. If you ask them, did you feel like praising God today? I imagine they would say no. Think about it. They've been falsely accused, harassed, exhausted from traveling hundreds of miles, beaten and thrown in jail, and yet they were going to bring a sacrifice of praise. They were going to bring a ministry to the Lord. Remember that old song that you used to sing as a kid? Maybe you still sing it now, or our son sang it every once in a while, but remember that song, This Is the Day? So you remember it, yeah. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, here's the deal. If you are anything like me, oftentimes we will wait for our circumstances to be right before we celebrate and praise the Lord. But if you wait for your circumstances to be right, you can end up waiting a lifetime. I like this guy. Here's the thing. This is the day. Doesn't matter how you walked in. Doesn't matter what anxiety you feel. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, friends, some of us will spend a lifetime to start praising the name of Jesus. Because this idea of one day I'm going to get serious about God when the kids get a little older. One day I'm going to start taking my finances a little bit serious and looking ways to give back. One day I'm going to start sharing my faith. One day I'm going to start taking care of the neighbors. And one day I'm going to start praising the name of the Lord. But here's the deal. You will spend a lifetime thinking that way. So this is the day we will rejoice. This is the day we will celebrate God. Now, here's the thing. Just to make it super clear, when I talk about bringing a ministry to the Lord, I just want to make it really practical. And I want to show you three cards because we have Valentine's Day coming up, all right? I want to show you three cards, and I want you to help me figure out which is the best, all right? So here's the first one. Baby Yoda one for me, all right? Now, I tried for 10 minutes to get a Yoda voice. I was like, baby Yoda one for me. And it sounded like I was going through puberty, so I wasn't going to do it for you, right? I tried 10 minutes, so I was going to get into character. I can't do it. So baby Yoda one for me, all right? Here's the second one. See which one you like. I would climb a moderately sized mountain for you, which is kind of funny. I like it. Or here's one that I got from my sweet son. It says, happy Valentine's Day, Dad, I love you, T-Bud. Whole lot of bedazzling going on, whole lot of glitter. And then it says, I love playing video games with you, and I love that we get to eat donuts together. And I asked him that that black spot at the bottom is actually donuts. That's what he said. And that picture right there is actually a video game system, okay? And so this is what he made for me. Now, out of curiosity, how many of you think the best card I could receive is the Yoda card? Any Star Wars fans that would say, yep, Yoda, there's one brave one last time. Okay. How many of you would say the moderately sized mount, which is pretty funny? How many would you say that's the best card I could receive? It is funny. I'll give you that. Or how many think this is the best card I could receive on Valentine's Day? Yes. Yes, indeed. Now, I'm shocked that you would say that because it's not all that Hallmark worthy, is it? I mean, the bedazzling is one thing and the glitter. But the truth is, you know where I'm going with this. The reason this means something is because it was made with sincerity and heartfelt devotion. You imagine what it does to the heart of God. Think of two people sitting right next to another. One person starts proclaiming the name of Jesus. And then another person shows up and they start engaging with sincere, heartfelt emotion. Imagine what that does to the heart of God. See, there is a point when you show up as a ministry to the Lord that suddenly your posture shifts. And I'm not even talking about raising your voices or responding, but I'm talking about bringing sincerity and heartfelt devotion, because we all know what it's like to go on autopilot. We know what it's like to be thinking about the chicken wings that we're gonna eat that night. We know what it's like to be thinking about all the responsibilities we got going on. And we know what it's like to show up and to be fully present with sincere, heartfelt devotion, that as we sing songs, we don't just think about him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We actually declare that, and we celebrate the fact that he is better than anything else on planet Earth, anything that could happen. Nothing compares to being in the presence of Jesus, and we get ourselves into a position to proclaim that. See, that's where worship becomes transformative, because we can gather together and we can read the scriptures and it might not be a pleasing aroma to God. In fact, you can be a Bible scholar and never really be transformed by the Holy Spirit, right? So now we want to be people who show up and bring a ministry unto the Lord. And here's what it means. It means you make a big deal about Jesus. You make a big deal about Jesus like you would make a big deal about a sports team or whatever it is your hobby is. However you do that, you make a big deal about the name of Jesus. And here's the second thing I want you to see about making a big deal about the name of Jesus, is that a heart of worship, here's why it's really important. Because you can call yourself a Christian in title, but here's the question: have you heard God speak to you? Because I would contend the way that you worship God, the way that you focus on him, will determine how you hear him. Because a heart of worship positions you to hear from God. Listen to what it says straight from the scripture. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, some versions say, then the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit didn't show up to apathetic people who were disinterested. He showed up to people who were seeking and making a big deal about him. Then the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. See, I hear it all the time. I don't know what my mission is. I don't know what my purpose is. Here's the question. Do you make a big deal about God? Because if you start off making a big deal about God, I have never met in my life, promise, this is not just preacher speak, I have never ever met anyone who makes a big deal about God throughout the week and not hear his voice, never once. In fact, when people sit down with me, they'll go, I just can't hear from God, or I don't know what my purpose is, and my first thing is, how are you praising the name of God? That's the first step, because your destiny in many ways is tied to the way you worship God, because it's not about you. God will use anyone. In fact, the kingdom of God is so indestructible. Think about this. He gave it to children and broken disciples because it's so indestructible. God is not dependent on you and I going, oh my gosh, if I don't get this person fired up, the whole kingdom's gonna shrink back. He's not like that. He wants to use you, but he doesn't need to use you. And so worship, a heart of worship, making a big deal about God positions you to hear from him. See, while they were ministering, while they were celebrating, making a big deal about God, the Holy Spirit spoke. See, again, I mentioned this, but the practice of singing, engaging in the sermons are a lot like life. You will get what you put out in. You will get what you put into them. If you show up and you look for God, you'll meet him. And I don't know how to say this any clearer. I mean, there are times I've showed up to what are bad church services. And what I mean by that, hear my heart. Like, I've been in services where they don't even know the lyrics they're singing. They've had to stop the music. I've had services where the pastors walked on stage, you go, I don't know what I'm gonna preach on, but we'll just see where the Holy Spirit goes. And yet every time I have shown up in some way, shape, fashion, or form, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me when I'm really present. Some way, shape, fashion, or form, the Holy Spirit will show up. Again, you can be a Bible scholar, you can listen to the word of God, but it's about the relationship to the Holy Spirit that really matters. What is your motives? What is your heart? How do you show up on Sundays? That will determine the way God speaks to you. See, the Holy Spirit's job is to make God real to us. And if you make a big deal of him, I promise he'll speak to you. In fact, I was even thinking about how I got on this stage, how God sort of spoke to me, because some of you know this, but we came here about 4 years ago. And before that, we were at a church in Chicago. And the truth of the matter is we were pretty burned out. You know, ministry can be like climbing an unscalable mountain. There's always things that are going on. There's always people to disciple. There's always people to the pastor and care. And I loved it. But the truth is, I just got so busy and so burned out and so depleted that in many ways, I even neglected my first responsibility, which was to my family. I was traveling, doing a bunch of stuff, and I just felt like I wasn't doing ministry in a healthy way. And if I could go the extra 2%, I started finding my identity in ministry. As I started to experience success, in fact, I would travel and speak at different places. And I remember as I would be introduced, people would say, you know, Brian leads one of the largest youth ministries in all the nation. First time they said that, I didn't really think much of it. But after the 10th time of being introduced that way, I started to find my identity in doing this ministry. And if I'm really honest, I found myself even in a place where the voice of people mattered more than the voice of God. And I knew I just couldn't do this kind of ministry this way for another 20, 30 years. And so my wife didn't know what to do. We did the first thing we could think of, which is we're just gonna take a season off. And as we took off, the bad news is we moved in with our in-laws. I'm sorry if you're watching, I just like my space. The good news is they lived about 200 yards off the beach, so in Pawleys Island, so we decided we were gonna move in with them. And we had one requirement. We said we are not going to get back into ministry until God makes it clear we're supposed to be back. We didn't know if it was gonna be 10 days, 10 weeks, a year, whatever it was. So we started spending time just reconnecting with God, making sure our hearts were right. We started to position ourselves in many ways to hear from him. It became transformative. I learned to hear God's voice in a way I never had before as I carved out space and margin. In fact, I remember we would attend this church, this little Baptist church in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. There's about 125 people. No one ever knew I was in the ministry or I was a pastor. We just sat in the back, we engaged. And I remember one worship service in particular, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me and he said, I want you to position yourself even more to hear from me. In fact, I want you to start fasting on Wednesday and praying. So I remember I would just go to the beach on Wednesday night, fast, pray, walk around, suffer at the beach. And I'd walk around and I'd just listen. And it was like every time I would just pray or engage, God would speak to me sometimes in really profound ways, but every time he would speak to me. I remember there was this one Wednesday that I thought it was just gonna be like a normal Wednesday. Got my stuff together, got my earbuds in, started walking on the beach. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me, not in an audible way, but just in one of those undeniable ways that I've been waiting for. It's about 7 or 8 months in and he says to me, you've been wondering when you're ready to go back in ministry and here's what I want you to understand. In your own strength, you're never ready. And it was kind of one of those that I, just full candor, I expected it to be a little bit more poetic when I first heard it, a little more upbeat. And I'm like, okay, not exactly what I was wondering. And then I see these ocean waves crashing. And he said, how long do you think you could resist those waves in your own strength? He said, the truth is you cannot do life in your own strength for very long at all. And if you know that, if you know you cannot do it in your own strength, then you're ready. And I'm telling you, I turn around and I'd walk this beach hundreds of times. And they had these piers that kind of come off, and on this pier there was this plaque. And there's this plaque that I never noticed until that one particular day. And on this plaque, it just said, forget me not. And the Holy Spirit said, that's the key, forget me not. So in fact, I actually, if you ever come in my office, I have this plaque. Somebody asked, I forgot to clarify, I did not steal this. I got this made, all right? But I have this plaque. The first thing I walk in every single day is I see this little plaque that says, forget me not. And it's my way of asking myself, have I positioned myself to be filled up and empowered by the Lord, or am I doing it in my own strength? And if you ask me how you position yourself to make and be filled up by the Holy Spirit, it's by making a big deal about Jesus, by honoring him and exalting him. And so I remember, I saw this sign, and I came back and I told my wife, hey, I feel like God's calling us back to ministry. And we started throwing our name around, and about 5 churches were interested. 4 were in the Midwest, 1 was in the South. My sweet wife said, you can go wherever you want, but I'm going to Texas, it's warm there. And true story, that's how we got here. And I was just thinking, all this happened. Even the privilege of getting to step on this stage happened not because I'm someone who's super spiritual. In fact, think about it. I had to take off because my heart wasn't even in the right place. But as you make a big deal about Jesus, guess what happens? He starts to guide you and direct you, and he'll use you in ways that you never could have imagined. See, it's not enough even to show up on Sundays. Are you positioning yourself day in and day out to hear from God? Are you making a big deal about God every single day? Because there are a lot of people, you can eat one meal on Sunday, and guess what happens next Sunday? You're malnourished. You could show up on Sunday and you can engage with all the right motives, but if you don't put yourself in a position to worship God and exalt his name throughout the week, I promise you this, you will not be in a position to hear from God. But if you show up on Sundays with a spirit that says, I'm going to worship and exalt. I'm not going to extract. I'm going to make a big deal about you from the moment I walk in. And all throughout the week, I'm going to make a big deal about the name of Jesus. I promise you this, not only will bring a ministry that's pleasing to God, you will find yourself in a way that the Holy Spirit will guide and speak to you in ways you never imagined. Imagine what an entire church filled with thousands of people who can hear the voice of God. You want to talk about waking the world up to Jesus? Before we do more, we need to know more of him. We need to be filled up in his power and his strength, because I promise you this, if you get that kind of connection with God, if you learn to make a big deal, he will transform you and meet you in radical ways. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to close out. I felt like it was appropriate as we end just to sing one song and make a big deal about God. I don't know how you came in. I don't know if you went on autopilot. Maybe you were worshiping, giving God all you got. You know, I promise you this, those football players, they're gathering their locker rooms, and for however long, they're going to be on that field. They're going to give it all they got. So I thought it would be appropriate as we end this worship service today, just to take the next 4 minutes and go, you know what? Even if I don't feel like it, even if I'm tired, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will make a big deal about the name of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And then what we're going to do is, again, however you want to respond to God, here's my key. Sincere, heartfelt devotion. Think about what it is. Lift your voices. Lift your hearts to God. And let's just praise and exalt the name of Jesus. Let me just pray for us real quick, and then we're going to have a chance to close out right now. God, I thank you for your goodness. And God, as we have a chance right now, I pray in this moment, we would bring a ministry to you that is a sweet smelling aroma. That when you look all throughout the world, you would see a group of people who just say, here I am. Here is my worship. Here is my heart. Here is my affection. I'm not coming to get something from you right now. I'm just coming to give a blessing to the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. So right now, as we sing, let's be people who don't go on autopilot, but bring a sincerity and heartfelt devotion. Let's worship God.